More than any other one figure in the history of jazz, trumpet virtuoso, singer and bandleader Louis Armstrong propelled the art form onto a mainstream stage, shaping the music with his own distinctive style. Jazz documentary producer Ken Burns says Armstrong is to music what Einstein is to physics, and the Wright brothers to travel. Yet the man behind the legend is less well known. The Wilma Theatre is now staging Satchmo at the Waldorf, a play by Terry Teachout, who is also the Wall Street Journal's drama critic, and the author of Pops, A Life of Louis Armstrong. Both the book and the play are informed by Armstrong's own writings and audio tapes he made of private conversations. Now, WRTI's Susan Lewis looks at Louis Armstrong, the man, his music, and his enduring contributions to the world.
And I think to myself, what a wonderful world.
By the end of his life, he was to millions of fans around the world the great and genial entertainer found in film, television, and recordings. The jazz musician who could sing and play on his trumpet any song and make it his own. Many knew him as Louis Armstrong, also known as Pops and Satchmo, a nickname he got from his large, satchel-sized mouth. But the man was more complicated than his charismatic stage persona would suggest. For starters, his name, in fact, was Louis. Terry Teachout says Louis would be the pronunciation for lighter-skinned black Creoles descended from the French, a group with higher social status in early 20th century New Orleans.
And he had no interest in pretending to be a Creole. So he always said his name, Louis. And you can hear him do it on the record of Hello, Dolly, when he sings,
Hello, Dolly, this is Louis Dolly.
While Hello, Dolly knocked the Beatles off the top of the charts in 1964, it was just one of many songs that Armstrong made popular. His engaging style with mainstream audiences attracted millions, but pushed away some who thought he catered too much to white audiences. Actor John Douglas Thompson stars in Satchmo at the Waldorf, in which he plays the title role, and manager Joe Glazer, as well as Miles Davis.
So I think it's easy to give the label of Uncle Tom when you don't understand what Armstrong had to grow up with, what he dealt with, what America was at that time as he was developing his own craft.
Born in 1901, Armstrong grew up in the red light district of New Orleans, a city swelling with music, wafting from the clubs, bellowing from street brass bands, and on riverboats steaming up and down the Mississippi. There was even music in the Reform School where Armstrong was sent at the age of 12 after firing a gun in the air on New Year's Eve.
He was put in the Colored Waifs Home, which is was a kind of reform school for black children. And he got his first musical instrument, a cornet, and was taught how to play. And the door was opened to a life of music for him. And because he was a natural-born genius, he seized this opportunity. And within a matter of years, he was the up-and-coming musician in New Orleans.
Armstrong was a second-generation jazz musician, listening and learning from older established musicians in the city, among them cornetists Joe King Oliver and Buddy Bolden.
A lot of people don't know who Buddy Bolden is because he was playing jazz before the technology was there to record it.
WRTI jazz director Maureen Molloy.
So by the time Louis Armstrong started playing music, that's when people were able to buy it or to hear it somewhere.
But it wasn't simply a matter of good timing. It was a matter that he was a creative genius who transformed and reshaped the language of early jazz. And because those records were disseminated throughout the country and eventually throughout the world, he became the first great influence in the history of jazz.
In 1922, Joe Oliver invited Armstrong to Chicago, where he began recording his first jazz records and establishing himself as a solo artist. His work, West End Blues, became a classic.
He kind of invented these kinds of solos so the musician could then break out from the actual rhythm and do some other things with their instruments.
By 1927, 1928, he was known all over the country because of his recordings. Everybody who was interested in jazz knew who Louis Armstrong was. So that was the great moment, the moment when the key turned in the lock.
Armstrong played his jazz in Chicago and New York, but in 1929, he had yet another big break. He appeared in a Broadway show.
No one to talk with, by myself,
no one to walk with. I'll not be on the shelf. Misbehaving, saving my love. Oh,
and the song he sings in the show is Ain't Misbehaving. So this was like a bomb exploding. Suddenly there was this man on Broadway that most people had never heard of. And you heard him and you fell in love. And from then on, the rocket went straight up.
It's hard to come up with anybody offhand who was very famous for trumpet and vocals at the same time. And no one had a voice like he did.
Playing, singing, and leading his bands, he was drawn to all kinds of music, including opera, jazz, country, and pop. He composed a bit, but made every song he performed his own.
In a sense, he was composing every time he put the horn to his mouth.
In the beginning of Lazy River, the way he's playing that trumpet, it sounds like it could be lyrics. And then he went into the vocals.
Up the Lazy River, where the old mill run.
Then he throws in a scat. And then at the end, that is straight up New Orleans style trumpet.
In 1935, Armstrong hired Joe Glazer, who managed his career over the next decades.
Glazer deliberately set out to establish him as a film and radio personality, to expand his audience, to get him playing for white people, and to try to broaden his appeal. But this was never done at the expense of Armstrong's capacity to make great music. There was never a moment in Louis Armstrong's life when he wasn't playing and singing jazz. The difference was who he played and sang it for and what his material was.
When writing Armstrong's biography, Terry Teachout studied audio tapes made by the man himself.
Armstrong was one of the very first people in America to own a tape recorder. He bought his first tape recorder in 1947 to tape his shows. But then he started playing with it and using it for other things. And by the end of his life, he had accumulated more than 600 reels of tape, many of which contained private and sometimes very intimate conversations with his wife, with friends, things like that.
Set in a backstage dressing room at one of his last big shows, Satchmo at the Waldorf explores the private Armstrong, his salty language, positive outlook, and his deep conviction about his music, his race, and his relationships with his manager and others. Here, Armstrong, played by actor John Douglas Thompson, reveals his love for his fourth wife, Lucille.
And I say to myself, Satch, you done lucked out. Better do what you got to do to hang on to that gal. You ain't gonna do no better long as you live. You know the thing about Lucille. She know the horn come first for everything, even her.
In his last decades, Armstrong played 300 gigs a year, appeared in movies and on TV, and made scores of recordings, which redefined the language of jazz. But he also spoke out against segregation in the Alabama schools, toured Europe and Asia on behalf of the U.S. State Department, and opened doors for others.
Far from being an Uncle Tom, he was a very brave person who took considerable personal and professional risks in order to be, as he says in the play, someone who did great things uplifting his race.
I mean, a lot of things that he did to pave the way for other black entertainers often are just left unsaid. You know, Armstrong created a whole swath so that people can kind of come up behind him.
Armstrong died of a heart attack in 1971, a month shy of his 70th birthday. His life, a quintessential American story that continues to be re-examined and retold. His music, forever irrepressible, warm and inviting, distinctly and uniquely his own.
WRTI, Susan Lewis. Satchmo at the Waldorf is at the Wilma Theater in Center City, Philadelphia through December 2nd.
Everything you hear on WRTI is made possible by members. Please join today.